I hope everyone paid their taxes this week. This is what kind of inspired me to do this message again. I would have titled this message "The Day in the Life of a IRS Agent," but we changed it, and we're going to call it "The Testimony of a Tax Collector." Okay, is that all right? Let's pray as you're turning with me to Luke 19. Father, I thank you so much for the awesome privilege that we have to stand here again, thanking you, God, for all you've done already, and just putting in the hearts of our children your words, even in a song, God, how blessed we were. And we continue to be blessed as we worship you, God, in spirit and now in truth, because your word is true. And I ask you, Lord, this morning that you'll take this word and allow it to minister to every one of our hearts here today. I believe, God, that there's no one here by an accident, that this message is not being preached because of just a coincidence, but someone needs to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to them today. And so I pray that our hearts will be open, all of us, God, because we all need to hear the truth of your word. Allow it to minister to every one of our hearts, I ask you, God. Just have your way. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Everyone said amen. Amen. I want to begin by reading with you. We have it on the board, I believe. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. And it says, "He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and he said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they began to grumble, saying, 'He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner.' Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much.' Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" What a powerful verse. There's about 17 messages in that portion of Scripture. But I want to talk about the testimony of a tax collector. Many of you who have grown up in church will remember the days of our vacation Bible school and our Sunday school, that there was a rhyme that was eternally embedded, the man that the Bible calls Zacchaeus, and embedded it in our minds. You remember that little rhyme? It goes like this. Zacchaeus was a what? A wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up into a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. All right, you got it. But as the Savior passed by his way, he looked up in the tree and said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today." So the question is, what drove Zacchaeus up that tree? I mean, you must admit it's out of the ordinary for a well-dressed, well-educated, high-profile, wealthy man in broad daylight, downtown, for everyone to see. You got to admit that's out of the ordinary to see someone like that climbing a tree, crawling out on a limb. And that made me always wonder, what drove him up that tree? What made him throw embarrassment and shame and ridicule right out the window and do something so uncharacteristic as climbing a tree for all to see, a man of this stature? Well, in order to answer that question and many other questions, I want to invite you on a journey. So travel with me to the backside of the Roman Empire. I just feel we need to go there. Don't we need to go there? We really need to go to the backside of the Roman Empire. And now we have technical difficulties. So, moving right along, we want to stop. Better late than never, I guess. But that's not the story. That's not it. Shut that thing off. Just like we rehearsed it, huh? Wow. But we want to stop in the sweltering, fly-infested land of Palestine. And we'll track our way across the difficult terrain until we come to that fragrant city, the city of Jericho. And for Jericho is the home of this despised man, this tax collector called Zacchaeus. So go with me now as we enter the Jericho zone. I knew it. All right. So anyway, that's not it. That's not the Jericho zone. All right. But you know what? I need you to do something with me. I need you to arise early in the morning and travel with me and observe. I want you to observe what he encounters as he endeavors to collect taxes that are owed to the Roman government, okay? So Zacchaeus gets up. He leaves home at the crack of dawn, following the dusty winding road, and as he travels, he pulls out his iPad and he checks the names and addresses of the people that he plans to see today. And it wasn't long before he arrived at the first house, the first stop, and he noticed, first of all, it was a very unkept little shanty. It was in need of much repair, needed a paint job. But you know what? All of those things didn't matter to Zacchaeus at all. The only thing that mattered to him was the word unpaid that was stamped by the name of the person who lived in that house. So he goes and he knocks on the door, and suddenly, with that kind of an eerie, creepy sound of an Alfred Hitchcock movie, and I'm not waiting for any sounds, the door swung open. And on the other side was a very frail man who appeared to be blind. The blind man said, "Who's there?" The answer came, "It's Zacchaeus. And I'm here to collect the taxes you owe the Roman government." And in a trembling voice, the blind man began to explain his inability to pay his taxes. And he said, "Sir, I have no family. I don't receive any kind of pension. There is no society to help the blind. I want to pay you, but I'm not able to pay you my taxes. But Mr. Zacchaeus, if you give me 30 days, I don't know how, but somehow, if you give me a 30-day extension, I'll find the money to pay you my taxes." Now there is Zacchaeus. He's caught between money and mercy. And he says, "You know, that's not usually my style, but okay, all right. You got 30 days. And as he walked away, he said, "Blind man, when I get back in 30 days, if you don't show me the money, not only will you be blind, you'll be blind and homeless." Okay, so he turned and he walked away. As he walked away, he thought, "Well, maybe I'll have better luck at the next place." And as he looked at his iPad, it wasn't long before he came up upon the second house. And he knocked on the door of the second house, and immediately, as the woman opened the door, Zacchaeus saw that there was something, there was a terrible problem there. This woman was yellow from head to toe, as if there were no blood in her veins at all. Her hair was all matted, her face was wet with tears, her speech was slurred. But through it all, she was able to say, "I know who you are, and I know why you've come. But Zacchaeus, I don't have any way to pay my taxes. You see, for 12 years, I've had this blood disorder. And in those 12 years, my insurance has been canceled. In those 12 years, my husband divorced me. In those 12 years, my inheritance has been all spent. I want to pay my taxes, but I'm not able to pay. Not only do I not have the money, I don't have the means to pay my taxes. I don't want your pity, Zacchaeus. What I need is 30 days. You must give me 30 days. And there was Zacchaeus again, caught between greed and grace. And he said, "For some reason, I feel a little benevolent today." He said, "Okay, you got your 30 days. When I get back in 30 days, I want my taxes." And he walked away and he said, "Well, maybe I'll have better luck at the next stop." And as he walked, he came around the corner in the bend in the road, and he looked, and there was a third house. But in front of the house, there stood a woman. And the closer he got to her, it was obvious that she was comatose. And she stared off into almost like into infinity, not even seeming to recognize that he was getting closer to her. He walked up, looked at her, and tried to speak, but there was no response. He just stared straight ahead. And all of a sudden, suddenly, there was this blood-curdling scream that came from behind him. And Zacchaeus whirled around to see who screamed. And there on the hillside, running naked between the stones in the graveyard, cutting himself, there was a silhouette of a cross between a man and a wild animal. And as he looked, he tried to make out what it was, and suddenly the woman spoke. And she said, "Every day I come here, and I hope against hope." She said, "What you see, that used to be my husband. He was a good man, and I love him. And I'm praying that one day my husband will come back to me." She said, "I don't know if it will ever happen, and perhaps I ought to move on with my life, but I love him. He's the father of my children. I don't know if it will ever happen because no man can tame him, and no man can bind him. He calls himself Legion because he's possessed with many demons." Not anxious to talk to demons, Zacchaeus begins to backpedal, and without the woman even saying anything, he says, "I'll be back in your area in 30 days. So as he hurries away from that demonic situation, his heart still palpitating, he looked at his iPad, and there was just one more house that he had planned to visit. And when he got there, he saw a spray of flowers hanging on the door, which normally suggested that someone in the family had died. But he knocked anyhow, and there was a grieving woman, veiled, dressed in black. She says, "I know who you are, and I know why you've come. But Zacchaeus, my son died yesterday, and I'm on my way to the funeral right now. And the money I had saved to pay your taxes, I had to use to bury my only son." Zacchaeus says, "I know you're having this problem, and I've already given some of your neighbors 30 days, so I'll be back in 30 days. Well, 30 days passed by pretty quickly. And as he did every day, he left home at the crack of dawn, and he checked he had a smartphone too. I didn't know if you knew that. He had a smartphone, and he noticed that this was the day that he was to return to those same four houses that represented the most non-productive day in the career of this tax collector. So he squared his shoulders. He started walking, and as he's walking, he resolved in his spirit, he said, no sad sob story is going to dissuade me from doing my job today. They will either pay, or they'll surrender their property, or they'll be thrown in prison. I'm going to do my job today. And he walked up to the first house. And suddenly he noticed there's been a slight change. The grass had been mowed. I think it said A.J. Adamo Horticulture School, mowing grass, something. There was a sign there. And the house had gone under renovation. It said P.J. Hogue and Company. It was a sign that renovation of the house. And it had been painted. Beautiful color by V.J. Jones and Painting Company. It was right there, all signs all over the house. And he knocked on the door, and a man with piercing eyes and authority in his voice answered the door. And Zacchaeus said, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'm looking for the man of the house. He says, I am the man of the house. He said, no. You look like him. But I was here 30 days ago, and the man who said he was the master of the house, he was blind. He said, I am that man. He said, no. This man was blind. He says, I know. I am that man. I was blind. He said, but wait a minute, Mrs. Zacchaeus. Let me tell you a story, okay? And this story, I'm not making it up. It's found in Luke 18, verse 35 to 43, if you want to write those down. Luke 18, 35 to 43. He said, Mr. Zacchaeus, listen. One day, a man told me that Jesus was coming to town. And I ran uptown. I knew it might be my only chance to meet him. He said, so I when I got there, I got a good seat. And when Jesus passed by, I heard all the commotion in the distance, and I asked somebody, what's happening? And they said, Jesus is passing by. And then I said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And the townspeople and the mayor and the council, they said, shh, hush up, shut up. You're embarrassing us. You're a nuisance. But he said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. They said, will you shut up? They tried to push him in the background, tried to quiet this guy down all the louder. He said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He said, Zacchaeus, you got a little time? Sit down. Let me tell you what happened. He said, this is the way it was. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Wow. And Zacchaeus turned and walked away, and he thought, man, this is some day. A man who was blind, who can now see. He said, one day, I hope I can meet Jesus. Maybe Jesus can do something about my condition. That man said that the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I hope I can see Jesus someday. Well, it wasn't long before he came upon the second house. This is found in Luke chapter 8, verse 42 to 48. He came upon the second house, knocked on the door, and suddenly this beautiful woman, radiant with joy, She came to the doors. She had color in her cheeks. She had a new do. It was from Jenna Catherine's salon, by the way. Just saying. Her nails had been freshly manicured. And he said, and she said, "Mr. Zacchaeus, it's good to see you." He said, "I'm looking for the woman of the house." She said, "I am the woman of the house." He said, "Wait a minute. Do you know your blind neighbor down the street?" She says, "Yeah, I know him, but he's not blind anymore." He says, "Yeah, I know. He just paid his taxes." And she said, "Didn't he tell you? People just started giving him money to help him get a new start." She said, "Mr. Zacchaeus, I need to tell you something. When I told you to come back in 30 days, that was nothing but a ploy. Because you see, I was confident that in 30 days, I would be dead and buried. In fact, I had been praying to die. Because I thought that only death could deliver me from this unbearable existence that I had. But a friend told me that Jesus was coming to town." So she said, "I elbowed my way through the crowd, and I got close enough, and I stretched out my hand to the fullest extent, and I was only able to touch the hem of his garment. But the moment I touched him, the flow of blood that had been flowing for 12 years immediately dried up. But not only was my body healed, I was healed at a deeper level than just my blood disease. I knew immediately that my soul had been made whole. And even though my faith was inadequate, he made it sufficient. When I touched him, he healed me." Zacchaeus says, "I don't know how much of this I can take. A blind man who can see, a dying woman who is full of life." She said, "Zacchaeus, I know it's hard to believe, but let me just explain something to you. Sit down a minute, Zacchaeus. Would you just do that?" She says, "I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and sleepless nights. But when I look around and think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days," she said. "I've made up my mind. I won't complain." And she looked up and she said, "You are the God that healeth me. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word and you healed my disease. You are the God, my healer." She said, "Zacchaeus, since I haven't had to pay those quack doctors anymore, I've been able to save a little money. And like my old ex-blind neighbor friend, here's the money for your taxes." Wow, what a day. He whirled around and headed for the third house. He thought, "This is an unusual day. I wonder if I could ever meet Jesus. Because like that woman, I have some long-standing problems too. I've had some painful experiences. Maybe if I could just meet Jesus, he could do something about my problem." Well, it wasn't long before he was in front of the third house, which is in Luke chapter 8, verse 26 to 39. And he looked for that woman to be standing in front of the door, but she wasn't there. And when he finally knocked on the door, this woman that he had talked to 30 days earlier opens the door. And what do you think? She had on a new dress. Oh, yeah. She was looking nice. And before they could start talking, this handsome young man walked out from behind her. And the first thought that came to Zacchaeus' mind was, "I'm glad this woman got herself a new man. You know, she should have put that old grave digger out to the curb a long time ago." But about that time, the woman spoke up and said, "Mr. Zacchaeus, I want you to meet my husband." "Your husband? Now, you haven't met this man before, because when you were here 30 days ago, His home was in the graveyard. But look at him now. Don't he look good? Look at him. He's got a new Armani. He's got an Armani clothes thing on, whatever. He's in his right mind. She said, Zacchaeus, I owe you an apology. She said, 30 days ago, I told you that no man could tame him. I told you that no man could bind him. But Zacchaeus, that was before Jesus got off the boat. When Jesus got off the boat, oh my Lord, when Jesus got off the boat, when Jesus walked in, the demons walked out. Look at him, Zacchaeus. He's a new man. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Listen to me. She said, Zacchaeus, if you ever want to be a new man, meet Jesus. If you ever want to be a new man, he will give you a relationship, a new relationship with your family. Meet Jesus. He'll give you a new relationship with yourself. And for sure, he will give you a new relationship with God. He said, old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. He met Jesus, Zacchaeus, and it changed his life. And it changed the life of our family, too. By this time, the man says, wait a minute. He said, listen, I'm of age. I can talk for myself. He said, it's good for her to tell it, but she didn't experience it like I did. I experienced it. He says, I want to tell you myself. She said, go ahead, honey. Go ahead, tell your story. Go ahead. He said, Mrs. Zacchaeus, sit down. Let me get you some coffee. Maybe it was Sanka back, I don't know, back then, you know. He says, I need to tell you something, Zacchaeus. So listen. He goes, we've been deceived by the devil too long. We're gonna tear that devil's kingdom down. Come on, help me. What he said was his has been ours all along. We're gonna tear that devil's kingdom down. Going up to the high places. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know I've been changed, he said, Zacchaeus. I know I've been changed. The angels up in heaven done signed my name. Zacchaeus said, this is some kind of day. A blind man that can now see. A dying woman who is full of life. A demon-possessed man has been delivered. He says, you know, I wonder if someday I could meet Jesus. I got some demons in me that have been hounding at my heels. Maybe if I meet Jesus, I too could get delivered. But then he noticed the last house. And he said to himself, kind of sarcastically, I wonder what surprise they'll have for me. Well, let's go see. And that's found in Luke chapter 7, verse 11 through 17. When he knocked on the door, the cutest little 12-year-old boy opened the door. Zacchaeus said, oops, I'm sorry, got the wrong house. He says, I know I got the wrong house because the house I'm looking for, there is no little boy that lives here. In fact, 30 days ago, the woman of the house was on her way that day to bury her son. The boy says, are you Mr. Zacchaeus? He said, yeah. He said, well, Mama's been looking for you all day. And Mama said that you said you'd be back in 30 days. And Mama said, you're never late when you're collecting your taxes. So we've been looking for you all day. He said, but wait a minute. He said, the house I'm looking for, the little boy, is dead. The boy said, Mr. Zacchaeus, I am that little boy. And you're right. I died. My mother's worst fear was that The same disease that took my father and my older brother would someday come back and claim me. At Mrs. Zacchaeus 30 days ago, my mother's worst fear became a reality. I got real sick, Mr. Zach, and my mother prayed for me. Oh, she stayed up by my bedside day and night and prayed for me. But Mr. Zach, God chose not to heal me, and I died. And my mother had saved up the money to pay your taxes, but she had to use that money to pay for my funeral. He said, let me tell you what happened. He said, they went to the temple, they had my funeral, and as the mourners led the procession out of the city of Nain, as they were going out, there was another procession coming in. And the procession of death collided with the procession of deity. Now, Mr. Zach, you know that death and deity cannot occupy the same space. You know that Jesus never attended a funeral service. You know that Jesus never preached a funeral service. And every time he showed up, he transformed the funeral into a resurrection. And there we were at the gate of death and deity. Deity and death. And deity collided with death. And when death collided with deity, Jesus laid his hands on me. And when he laid his hands on me, something began to move in my body. And I started to come back to life, Mr. Zach. And when I sat up in the casket, it scared the undertaker so bad, he pushed me out of the casket, gave my mother her money back, and here, Mr. Zach, is the money for your taxes. Give Jesus a hand. Amen. By the time that little boy got through talking, his mother came out. She says, now he's just 12 years old, and he knows a little bit because he went through it, but she said, but let me tell you, only like a mama could tell you. You got a little time, Zacchaeus? Why don't you sit down? Let me tell you about it. And Zacchaeus says, come on, tell me. You know what she said? She says, great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Oh, come on, help me. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Zacchaeus closed up his book. He said, it's time to go home. And on his way home, he passed by a friend. Friend says, hey, Zach, how you doing? He says, have you heard about what's going on? He says, yeah, man, I heard all I can handle today. I've had enough for one day. He said, did you hear that Jesus is in town? He says, yeah, I heard. He said, you better get down there. You better hurry. You'll be leaving in a little while. And as his little feet began to pitter-patter along the dusty road, his life flashed before his eyes. And he said, you know, I wonder if I could really meet Jesus. Because all of my life, I've been a successful failure. I've been a paradox of prosperity and poverty. Because my life is described as being rich. He was a rich man. But I was rich in the things of this world, and I was poor in the things of God. I've had a tough life. Even though on the outside it might not look like it, and I might look like every man's dream, but they don't know what Sometimes that when you get to the top of the ladder, you may discover that your ladder is leaning on the wrong building. He said, I wonder if I could meet Jesus. Maybe, because maybe Jesus could do something about the emptiness that fills my soul. He said, you know, I've had another problem. He says, I've been a short man in a tall world. And I always thought, he thought to himself, I always thought that it was my shortness of stature that created all my problems. But maybe if I met Jesus, he could help me understand who I am, really. Because I'm beginning to see as I search my own heart that it's not the shortness of my stature, but it's the shortage of my relationship with God. It is my shortage in my relationship with God that has caused my heart to be cold and uncaring and without compassion. But maybe, just maybe, if I met Jesus, he could change all that. And so I ran uptown. And when I got there, I couldn't see over the crowd. So finally, he decided to run ahead of Jesus and run ahead of the crowd. And that's when he saw that tree. And I've been wondering, what drove him up that tree? It was his shortage of his relationship with God. It was his being a successful failure. And it was all of those things that he saw that Jesus had done in the lives of other people. And he said, I know that Jesus is no respecter of persons. What he has done in others, surely he can do for me. And there he was, up that tree. And when he got up that tree, Jesus came by. And as the little rhyme that we said, just said, Jesus said, Zacchaeus, you come down from there. I'm going to your house today. And Zacchaeus slid down that tree and he decided right then and there for the rest of his life that he was going to walk with Jesus. But he said, first of all, I've got to invite him home with me. And there's the message. Because Jesus only makes a difference when he goes home with you. In fact, if he doesn't go home with you, he doesn't go at all. Because he knows that what we are at home is what we really are. Some of you may have Jesus on Sunday morning, but I'm here to help you today. If you have Jesus when you get home, he'll make a difference in your life. If you have Jesus when you get home, he'll make a difference in your family. If you have Jesus when you get home, he'll make a difference in your church. He'll make a difference in your community. He'll make a difference in this whole world. When you have Jesus at home. So I heard him say as he walked away, Jesus saves to the utmost. Jesus saves to the utmost. He'll pick you up, turn you around, hallelujah, set your feet on solid ground, because it ain't over till God says so. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus saves. How about you today? How about you? Will you take Jesus home with you? Or will you leave him here until next Sunday? Last Sunday, we closed the service by praying together a prayer. Today, I want to do something a little different. We're going to worship God now with our tithes and our offerings. I want the ushers to come and get ready. But we're going to do something different today. As we spoke something last week, a prayer, today, I want us to sing a prayer. And I want us to believe God as we give of our tithes and our offerings. I want us to take God at his word. I want us to say, God, you said, you promised that if I would give according to your word, that you would open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that I won't even have room enough to receive. You said it. You promised it. I'm going to stand on it today. And so that's my prayer for our church today. I want us to stand together, and as you give of your, would the ushers please come? I want you to start, because we're going to worship God with our giving. We're going to worship him as we're singing. We all stand together, have your offering ready, and as you put your offering in, continue to worship God with this song of prayer. Can we do this before we close? Come on, would you do it nice and loud for me, Chris? Father, which art in heaven, would be your holy name, there is power, healing in your name.
Thy kingdom come, sing.
Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come.
Falling down from heaven to the earth, thy kingdom.
Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is. Yes, Lord. Give us this day our daily bread.
All for the extended body of Christ all over the earth. Sing it again.
Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debts.
Lord, wash us clean with the blood of Jesus right now. Forgive us our sins.
forgive us, Lord, once again, all of our sins. And we choose, Lord, to release any who have sinned against
yes,
us.
Yes, Lord, mighty
any
God.
Who have walked against us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we release mighty them Jesus. That we might be released in your eyes.
Hallelujah,
thank you, Lord,
to the Lamb of God.
Power.
Jesus.
Thank
name.
You for your blood that makes us clean.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Crown of thorns is right there.
It's right there.
I know.
And that's why I had to come and tell Kathy,
I know.
Too.
Oh, my God.
He's with us.
Yes.
He's with us.
Amen.
And he's here to deliver and
yes.
set free and heal.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glad you were here.
Oh, it's good to be here.